How do we fix a broken life, especially when it's ours? That's the question we're answering in this episode of the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. Thank you for choosing to join us today. In today's study, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, will be talking about understanding and enjoying the abundance of Jesus in your everyday life. As we open God's Word today, Pastor Matt explains to us that there are four life-changing steps we have to cooperate with if we're going to enjoy the power of God repairing our broken lives. Each involves our commitment to and dependence on the Scriptures, as well as God's ability to supply all of our problem-solving solutions through His Word. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3 and follow along with our study today.
Inside your worship folder this morning are a set of notes. Let me encourage you to take those out, fill in the blanks, and we're going to have a great time today as we continue our series, 90 Days of Abundance. We're going to talk about how do I fix my broken life. Let's pray. Father, now you've heard us pray to you. We wait upon you. Father God, help us to remember that Christianity is about being responsible. And Lord, as Mary said, there is mercy for those who fear Him. So, Father, we're here today with great joy in our hearts, knowing that you are going to shower your mercy upon us as we listen to you and as we practice what you have in your word for us. We pray for those who are scattered today from our midst. Lord, we pray you bring revival to their hearts, protection, watch over them. And, Father, we pray your richest blessing now on all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Lost and broken is how she feels. Overwhelming pain and bruises will never reveal. So many marks left upon her skin, tattered skin hidden beneath her sleeves. Agonizing pain kept deep within. No one hears her screams late at night. Does anyone else feel this way? Broken dreams and a broken heart. Riding far into the distance, only to greet a dead end. Overpowering need to feel something real. Knocks at her door only exist in her dreams. Enormous pain in her heart that never goes away, never wants to wake up another day. The reality is, folks, that a lot of people claim all the la-la-la-la of Jesus, and they feel more like this. This was written by a Christ follower. Her name is Chelsea. And they come to church and they come to worship and they sing the songs and they wave the hands and they put the smile on and then they go home and they live another day of horror as they just can't seem to fix their broken lives. They know Jesus is supposed to, but they just struggle with so many things. Now, if you're not struggling with anything, I would be shocked. So inside your worship folder and those notes that you have, I've left you a blank. Got a little assignment for you right now. I'm going to encourage you to take that out. I want you to fill in the blank. Okay? Write down one area, two areas, three areas where your life could use some repair. Now, for the Pharisees in the room, just write the word denial on the list. Okay? All the Pharisees in the room, just write denial. Could write next to it, I'm a liar, but that wouldn't be politically correct or kind. Just write denial, okay? Write down a couple areas where your life needs some help. If you can't think of any, maybe marriage is one, or finances, or getting a job, or career, or honesty, or integrity, or credibility, or purity, or generosity, or patience, or loyalty. Just write one or two or three down and take a moment and think about it. You see, we can trace every single one of the problems in our life to a violation in God's Word. Every single one. All we have to do is pick up the Word and read it. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God will work to show us where in the world we have a problem that needs fixing and how to solve it. In fact, what we realize is that when we do this, God speaks to us constantly. God's been doing this in my life now for over 35 years. Recently, God has begun to speak to me about retirement funding. You see, when I was younger, as a brand new pastor, I was fed some really awful advice. Here's what I was told. If you will serve Jesus in places where they won't pay you, it's okay when you retire. God will take care of your retirement. Oh, doesn't that sound spiritual? That sounds so spiritual. That sounds like a Facebook post. And it has all of the authority of a Facebook post. And it's a blatant, damnable lie. The Bible, I started reading the Bible and found out the Bible doesn't teach that at all. People say, well, look at the apostles. They were fine. 11 of them were murdered and one was put on an island as a prisoner breaking rocks. So he was in a penal colony. Yeah, his retirement was great, paid for by the government. I'm not interested in that kind of retirement. Not interested in dying on a cross or having each of one of my extremities tied to his four different horses and having their butt slapped and pulled me apart. That's not the kind of retirement I'm interested in. Now, if that comes, I'll take it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. I started to read some Bible verses and I realized that we should have been saving a little bit all the while we were serving, despite the very little we were paid. Would you read with me? This is what I discovered in Proverbs 13:11. Read it with me. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. I kept reading through the book of Proverbs and I found in that same chapter that had we been saving all the while we were serving, we would have enjoyed the benefit of long-term compound interest. Read with me 13:22 out of Proverbs. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. I also learned that the excuses that we use throughout these years, when we should have been saving at least a little bit all the while we were serving, despite being paid virtually nothing in most of these places, are not much of a comfort anymore. You know, the excuses aren't a comfort. In fact, I read this verse. It comes out of Proverbs chapter 6. Read it with me. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Without having any chief, officer, ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. In other words, you need to have being laying stuff. I mean, I could go on. There's dozens and dozens and dozens. In fact, the Bible speaks more about money than it does about any other subject there is. And I just began to realize, oh my goodness. All of this just to show you that you can trace every single broken spot in your life to a violation of the revealed Word of God, if you'll just get into it. In other words, we need to heed what we read. By the way, for those who aren't reading, you need to read so you can heed. Now, the whole point of this message is very simple. It's in verse 12, Proverbs 2. Would you read it with me, please? Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Had I not listened to those spiritual people 35 years ago, I probably could be retired now. Had I listened to my grandfather when I was a teenager, I would be retired now. He told me while I was still a teenager, just put 10% away, start saving it, you'll be amazed how quick it grows. Well, Grandpa was broke, so I didn't listen to him. Okay? I mean, back then I was smart. I don't listen to people who don't have what I need. Okay? But they tell me how to get it. I'm smart. Okay? Like you. Now, today I want you to see how this works. Would you read with me Proverbs 3, 16, 17? Read it with me. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So, we're going to look at these two verses and I'm going to break down what I've discovered to be four life-changing steps. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you where I violate them. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you about where you can get fixed from these four verses. These four verses have changed so much in my life. Had I listened to them more, I would, like I say, wouldn't be here right now. I'd be retired. You and I have to take a strong look at the amount of advertising. As we look at these four steps, we have to take a strong look at the amount of advertising we get every single day. The culture is constantly inundating you and I with their messages. If you listen to stuff, You like that technical term? If you listen to stuff, you get messages, whether that's people or music or radio, talk shows or movies or sitcoms or whatever you're listening to, you get stuff. And in that process, David Lamoureux says this, we see 247 images per day and probably don't notice half of them even though we've been exposed. The fact that you and the message are in reasonable proximity for you to see doesn't mean you saw it. Our brains can't truly process the many messages. We can't notice, absorb, or even judge the personal merit of, listen, 3,000 visual attacks a day. You probably get 247, but you don't grab that there's 3,000 of them a day. Your soul, my soul, is constantly being attacked. Constantly being told, this is what you need to do. You need to have a brand new car because everybody needs a brand new car. And 9 of those in one show last night. Brand new car. Right? And then there's, of course, you got to eat this really bad food. But I never see the healthcare commercial. Well, there's now Kaiser's getting smarter. They actually throw up the healthcare commercial now. Why don't you thrive instead of being dead? Okay, and it's like, oh, okay. You see, the message is pretty simple. Buy more so you'll save more. Now, I don't know where you come from. Walking through Palos Verdes. We're up at the plaza. We're walking through all the fancy stores. You were there. Buy more. Save more. Now, listen, when you spend money, you're saving nothing. That's an IQ test. We fail. I fail every time I fall for it. Oh, look, I can save if I don't buy it. That's the way I can save. I can save if I don't buy it. Now, listen, there's all of these, and we have to grab a hold of this reality. Read it with me, Proverbs 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. The word inspired here means breathed out. It's like respiration. It's just breathed into. The Word of God is just, it's just filled with the breath of God. And so it teaches us what's true. I need that all the time. I need God's Word's truth all the time because all around us, people are telling us lies. That's why the Bereans, you remember as you read Acts? You're going to read Acts in just a few weeks. As you read Acts, you remember the Bereans were more noble because they went and checked things out in the Bible to see if they were true when Paul taught them to them. You need to double check the Word. Now listen, I want to be real clear. You've got to know the truth. You've got to know the truth. I learn what is true by studying God's Word. Now, I want to be real honest. We're going to talk about this over and over again. But the reality is that wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. There's all sorts of goofy teaching. If you listen to it on Christian radio or Christian TV, watch out. Because those people, in order to be there and get people to give them money, have to say the things those people want to hear. What we hear about in the Bible, in the New Testament, called people having itching ears. We have to watch out for those twisted words. People will tell you things, but they won't tell you everything. And in the process, you say, oh, I'm good. When in reality, they miss the part that's the changing of your life. It's really important that we grab hold of this. In other words, I'm going to tell you that you need to do this in the morning. You need to get with the Word of God in the morning. And there's a reason for this. Matthew 6:33. Would you read it with me? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. He's talking about food and clothing and the things you desperately need. If you just take care. Now, Melody and I want to tell you, even though we don't have retirement right now, God takes care of our every need. We just watch how He takes care of every single need. I want to tell you, there's no extra running right now, but every need is taken care of. I asked you to pray. Got that nice phone call from the mechanic as he was resetting the problem that I've been having for weeks that was about $800 to $900, and he finally got that one fixed. And I found the problem finally, and he never charged me for all of that's under warranty. But the other code, that one's going to cost you $370. Just when you get a little bit ahead, Melody says, why do we got to step back? And God's going to take care of that as well. You see, I begin studying the Word of God, and I get up each morning, and I want to know what it's doing. Like I told you about yesterday, I was really impressed by Mary saying that mercy comes to those who fear Him. In other words, mercy doesn't come to people who don't fear Him. There's no mercy for people who don't fear Him. There's only certain judgment, another passage says in the Scriptures. And I began to study the Word of God. And I realized, as I was studying the Word of God, like that sometimes I get off the path of life. Psalm 16:11 says that, doesn't it? It talks about how you will make known to me the path of life. There's a path. I need to follow it. You need to follow it. Listen, you can be saved and so lead such a sorry, sickening life. Still be saved, but lead a sorry, sickening life. Broken because you didn't pay attention to the path of life. I need the path. I need to stay on the text. I need to make sure I'm not wandering off. Like when I'm driving down the 405 and there's lots of traffic and I decide I'm going to get off because it's going to be faster. Anybody ever try that one? Yeah. Only to find out that everybody else had the same idea and that was a wrong idea. Okay. I got off the path, and then I get back on 25 minutes later and inch along, and pretty soon I get there. Okay? Not only is it true that we need to study the Word of God, but listen also to what this passage says. Read it with me. All Scripture is inspired by God to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You got to seek the kingdom first. A lot of people say, I read my Bible at night. How's that going for you? Is that why you're weeks behind in your Bible reading right now? Is that why when you come into God's presence, He goes, who are you? Oh, I remember you. I've had lots of friends try this, folks. I've been doing this for over a decade. I've been reading the Word of God. I know it doesn't work at night. It works for a while, doesn't it? Until when? Until life decides to grab a hold of you. And it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work. So I get along with God. And as I'm reading in the morning, I realize, oh my goodness, this is a place I don't want to go. I've been turning there. Recently, as I was reading the Word of God, it became very clear to me, the Spirit of God was speaking to me through the text, that I had taken on too many projects at once. Can anybody relate? Amen. Okay. And the Lord said, Matt, you're doing too many things and getting nothing done. And I said, yeah, but all these things need to be done. Do I have a witness? They all have to be done, right? They all have to be done. Okay. And He said, that's okay. They're not. None of them. Just because you're working on all of them doesn't mean anything's getting done. I said, so what am I supposed to do, Lord? Focus. And so, in time prayer, just talking with God, all of a sudden I realized I needed to focus on one project at a time. And so that was about the time Melody flew off to Chicago. Melody flew off on Thursday. The Lord and I had been having this discussion for several days. By Sunday, I'd sat down and reorganized my project load. I'm writing, as you well know, if you're regular here, through the Bible for you in 1 year. That's also going to become a book. But I was writing it, and I started that project. Are you ready for this? Anybody sitting down? Please, you all sit down. I started that project in 1997. Okay? I took it back up last year and got about into Psalms. Okay? And this year, I said I'm going to put it in the bulletin, so you get it. So I have to at least finish it by December. And the Lord said, why don't you just make these your teaching notes on Monday and Tuesday nights? Then you have to have it done by the 31st of this month. So, I wrote Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, since then. Usually get one a week or one every other week. Focus. You see, I'm working with the Spirit of God to realize this isn't working in your life. You got to get this through the Bible project in 1 year done. And so when I'm reading and studying the Word of God, the Spirit of God's working with me, I realize what is wrong by listening to God's Word. Now, you know there's some people who don't read the Word of God every day because they're so smart they know it all, right? You know those people. Oh yeah, I read that once. And can I just give you a piece of advice? If you know somebody like that, walk far away from them. Okay, first of all, they don't remember it correctly. Second of all, that's arrogance. And you want to stay away from it because he actively resists the proud. Okay, you want to stay away from that scary stuff. Scary stuff. You want to stay away from that. Now, remember, what's the whole point of this? The whole point, say it with me, Proverbs 2:12, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Remember what we're saying. Every mess in your life can be traced back to a violation in the Word of God. We need to heed what we read. We need to obey it. So, that takes us on to another part of these two verses, which is, read it with me, all Scripture is inspired by God and corrects us when we are wrong. Now, how many of you have never made a mistake? Notice I wasn't even going to look, but just for the fun of it, I thought I would. I'm working on a new series of messages for the new year called God and Money, talking about what God says about money. And so I've been working on it, and I came across this verse. Would you read it with me in Proverbs 21:5? Read it with me. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. I gave this assignment to my students at the beginning of the new year. And I said, why don't you write down all of the verses in Proverbs that say, how do you get wealthy? And all of the verses that tell you how you get poor. And you should have gotten this one in both categories. Because you get wealthy by how? Diligently what? Planning. And you become poor by recklessly spending. Okay, it's pretty simple. And so I began to realize as I was working on this new series, I soon became convicted that I needed to have a plan for the funds that Melody and I had. So when Melody got back from Chicago, I sat down, Melody and I did, and we made a plan. We made a plan how we were going to spend our money for October and November. It wasn't easy. Okay, remember, there's not a lot coming in. We didn't, you know, when you've got this much money and this much month, are you with me? This much money and this much month, and it's just the way it is. But we sat down and we planned it. And in the process, it was easier to see where everything was going and what we should spend our priorities on and how things should work out. And as we did that, I was amazed at what began to change in my thinking. We were at the store yesterday buying a few groceries and put a couple things in the cart. And as we were driving around, the plan was in my head. Plans in my head. I don't need those. Put them back on the shelf. Went a little further. Oh, let's put that away. I don't need that. Okay. Melody says at the last store, she's like, I got $120 to spend. She spent $118.42. Is that woman amazing? Huh? She's sitting there writing down how much everything is. Plan. The plan begins to correct the mistakes I was making. You see, I change my disobedience by obeying God's word. I can just go ahead and I can just put it on the plastic. Listen, I've got 3 credit cards. I just put it on plastic and buy anything I want to. I got great credit. But the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't want to have my soul owned by Wells Fargo or Bank of America or the credit union. I don't want to do that. My soul belongs to Jesus Christ. I can't serve two masters. Either I love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. So I have to choose. Now the whole point of this message is what? Here, read it with me again, Proverbs 2:12. Read it with me. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Now I want you to notice that evil people might be Christ followers. Because the only requirement here, this is for all of those of you who are advanced in your Christian life, okay, this is called synonymous parallelism. The first phrase and the second phrase mean the same thing. They're just said differently. You have people who are evil. And you know them because they have what? Twisted words. I don't care what they claim to be. I don't care if they were saved, baptized, member of a church. I don't care. The Bible says people who twist the word of God are evil. And I need to be very careful of those people. Where did Jesus get the most flack from? From the church people called Pharisees. Pharisees were the people who were supposedly very, very, very knowledgeable of the word. I want you to just remember this. Pharisees know, and disciples show. I was reading, you were reading with me, if you're reading on the schedule, we were in Mark. And some of you caught this when I posted it this week on Facebook. And I just couldn't help but realize this. Would you read with me Mark 8:11? Would you just read it with me? The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him. That's what Pharisees do. You know, babies cry and mess their pants? Pharisees argue. They just come out and they argue. The first thing, they just can't help themselves. You say something, and they're all... That's their nature. You can tell they're self-righteous. You can tell they're sinful. You can tell they're full of themselves because I gotta fix you. You know these people on the internet. I love the little cartoon. Have you seen a cartoon running around on the internet? Honey, it's 3 a.m. Let's go to bed. Somebody's wrong on Facebook. Pharisees. See? Now listen, the reason for that is simple. Rebellion always argues. I'd write that in white space. Rebellion always argues. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for asking. So you got to be in the Word every day. Contrary, argumentative people love to argue because they're Pharisees. That's the way they are. They argue about everything. They're not Christian in the sense of being godly. They might be Christian in the sense of having made a profession, but as we talk in our class, they don't possess what they profess. We need to possess what we profess. That's our responsibility, and those are you being discipled. This is the difference between position and experience. We need to bring our experience up to our position. We need to. It's like the little baby. The little baby's going to grow up to be an adult someday, right? But that's not today. So we're going to give up, and we're just going to let them do whatever they want, right? I don't think so. I don't care what the current theory on parenting is. That's insane, okay? Now, we realize that all Scripture is inspired by God, and what does it do? It teaches us to do what is right. It was that process. It was in that process of making that financial plan I was telling you about our finances, that God showed me some things I needed to change in my soul. It was in the process of focusing on the through the Bible writing that I was writing to you, that God showed me that I needed to focus on one project and get it done first. It's the process of applying God's Word that helps me, not the process of knowing God's Word. I need to apply what I know. You need to study to know what's right. You need to have what's wrong corrected, but you've got to apply it, because if you don't, you won't. I've told you before. I've told you. I'll tell you until I'm dead. It's simple to become a millionaire. Everybody knows how to become a millionaire. You spend less than you make. You save what you don't spend. And you get it into some sort of growth mutual fund. And you will become a millionaire. Obama can't help you. Romney can't help you. Washington can't help you. Sacramento can't help you. You've got to do what the Word of God says. Vote your conscience in an election and don't think any of them are going to help you. That's crazy. The Word of God says, apply my Word and it'll help you. Apply my Word and it'll help you. Apply my Word. Why? Because wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Now, you got to know that the reason we don't have a retirement fund, there were some good, solid reasons for that. There were some excuses in that as well. And it doesn't matter. The thousands of excuses we have, none of them wash at the throne. None of your excuses, none of my excuses go past the throne of God. They're just burned in the fire. You see, there's a desperate life lesson here. And that is that you can find the solution to almost every one of your broken life situations in the book of Proverbs. If you will just simply read the chapter a day that you have in front of you. Today happens to be, we're giving this message on the 21st. So if you would read chapter 21 today. Tomorrow's the 22nd, so we would read chapter, and then on the next day it's the 23rd, and you'd read 23. Let me just show you the value of this. This is amazing. Just a chapter a day keeps the wicked away. Okay. Let me just explain how this works first. Comes from David in Psalm 119. Just read it with me. We're just going to read it, okay? Read it with me. How I love your instruction. It is my meditation all day long. Now, if you read it at night, it's pretty hard to meditate on it all day long. Okay? Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. Why? Because I'm meditating on them. I have more insight than all my teachers because your decrees are my meditation. I'm thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. How do I apply this? I understand more than the elders because I obey your precepts. Now, let me just target this, okay? Let me just be real honest, okay? Brian, you're young. Christian, Ryan, Monique, Tally, you're young. If you'll just take your money and save it, 10-15% every paycheck, and you get up a little nest egg and throw it into a mutual fund, and you do that every $600 a month, every month, for just about 5 to 10 years, and you don't have to put any more money into it, and guess what? You're a retired millionaire. Because the elders aren't doing that. I speak as one. You'll understand. Now listen, understanding is not knowing. Understanding is not knowing. Have you ever known something, then you went and did it, and then you understood it? Okay? And then you realize you should have shut up before? I've done this all my life. Okay? Understanding is when you go, oh, that's how it works. I get it. I wish I'd understood this one when Grandpa was talking to me. Read with me. I have kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. In other words, I have a responsibility. I have not turned from your judgments, for you yourself have instructed me from the word of God. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. There it is. That's the process. That's how it works. If you'll just meditate on the text, if you'll go into the book of Proverbs and take that chapter every day, chapter a day keeps the wicked away. If you'll meditate on it. I wish I'd have paid more attention to Proverbs when I was reading it. I wish I would have kept reading it every single day, especially when it came to money. It helped me in so many other areas. We're going to talk about three of them. We're going to talk about three of them. Three that every man needs to deal with. You see, because men are the spiritual leaders of their house. And as spiritual leaders of our house, men, it is our responsibility to get our own act together. In fact, this is what we're told in 1 Timothy 3. Read it with me. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? There's the big three that you and I have to deal with. It's in Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to encourage you to turn there. Proverbs chapter 2 in your Bible. In Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to look at just a few verses. But let's take a look at verses 10 through 15. Let's just read them together. Because reading them, you're going to go home and you're going to forget you're supposed to read the chapter of the day. And I know it's not chapter 2, so let's just read through them. Okay, here they go. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Direction will watch over, and you understanding will guard you, rescuing you from the way of evil. Stop, there it is. Remember I said there's a path of life? There's also a path of evil. You got a choice every moment. Which path am I on? Here we go. From the one who says perverse things. Oh my goodness, watch out. From those who abandon the right path to walk in the ways of darkness. From those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. In other words, if I will use this process of applying the Word of God that we've talked about, men, the first thing that happens is I stop making bad friendships. People are your greatest problem in life. Those nearest to you determine your level of failure or success. Birds of a feather flock together. Okay? If you want to be an eagle, don't run with the... See, we know this. But then we go and we have a friend who's a jerk, a malcontent. There's a fornicator, an adulterer, they're an embezzler, they're a liar, a cheat. And we have these people as friends. We ask ourselves, what's wrong? Well, the problem is that wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. You separate yourself from those kinds of people when it comes to your inner circle of life-doing friends. Now, men, we've got to get this because, as I said, there's three of them. Let's keep reading in Proverbs 2, verses 16 through 19. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a stranger with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. By the way, just mark, if you've got Proverbs 2, I'll just mark in this person, divorced woman. Okay, that's what it says right there. It says, who abandons the companion of her youth. That's a euphemism for divorce. Okay. For her house sinks down to death and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her. None reach the paths of life. There it is again, that paths of life. You see, the second way that we fix our broken world is because we're in the Word. We recognize the forbidden woman. We have a list of them. Now, I have a very long list of them, Pat, but technically it all falls under one point. Okay, here's the point. A woman who's forbidden is a woman who's not Melody.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. The only woman that's approved is Melody. That's it. No other woman. Any married man, that's the only approved woman. Period. And we have to get our eyes back in our sockets. We have to get our heart back in holiness. And we have to get back to understanding, not knowing. Your knowing isn't growing until your knowing is showing. You see, the point of all of this is very simple. Wisdom will save you from evil people. And from the words of the twisted, we've got to stay away from that. One more. I said there were three men. Three. Here's the third one. Okay? Proverbs chapter 2. We're just going to finish the chapter. Read it with me. Verse 20. So follow the way of good people and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land and those of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous uprooted. Now listen, you got a gentleman, it's real simple. You've got to have good role models. Now if you can't see this because you're sitting too far in the back, it says very simple. This is a Venn diagram of role models. Okay? Role models are on the right and actors and politicians and athletes are on the left. And you notice that the two circles are moving away from each other. And you'll notice it says with more and more space between them every day. Why is that? Very simply, they don't match up to the morality and the spirituality of the text. You can foresee and forecast where this is going. Yesterday we were in the checkout line at Walmart, and as we were in the checkout line at Walmart, there was these magazines. I can't believe people buy these things, but they do. They sell lots of them. Obviously, because I'm just saying, for people who buy them, my life is not as messed up as yours, and we love to watch a traffic accident, so we buy them, okay? And there's this one, and it says so-and-so is can't believe that, you know, that they're having problems because they had this child out of wedlock, and the child grew up never knowing the father. And I just turned to Melody, and I said, like, hello? If you don't have a permanent relationship with your spouse, how in the world would you ever, or the person you're sleeping with, how would you ever expect the child that comes out of it to know the father? If you can't even name the father, that's because you're, so, I mean, come on, this is IQ 101 for Proverbs and wisdom. And men, this is what we have to stay away from. The Word of God turns us from the twistedness of this society. You see, I start keeping to the right paths. That's how I fix my broken life. Now, you know Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. In other words, if you'd like a different harvest, you need to start sowing a different life. And so Melody and I have made the decision that we're going to fix this problem of retirement. We're not quite sure how yet, but we've made a decision. I may have to work till I'm 70, but we're going to solve this problem. Now, how do you get rich? Real simple. You spend less than you make. You save what you don't spend. And you put it into a growth fund. And since I've got some catching up to do, I'm going to have to increase my income to make up for the years that I didn't do wise things. You see, the point today is real simple. If I want all God has for me, I have to do all God tells me. It's that simple. Because I can be saved and live a sorry, sickening life and get to heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 3, with nothing but salvation. I can be bankrupt, and I don't want that. I want to make sure that I can give to the poor. I want to make sure that I can have treasure in heaven, and I want to make sure that I don't have to depend on you guys coming over to your house and living month by month. Okay, this month we're at your house, and this month we're at your house, and this month we're at your house, and you just keep moving us around, and that's my retirement plan. By the way, most people are living off that retirement plan, but they don't go house to house. They go back where? To their kids or their moms. That's where they go. You see, say it with me one more time. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Father, may we be saved from evil people. May we get back in the text. And Lord, forgive me for simply ignoring this area of finance because I thought it would all be okay until I started to read the text again with new eyes and realize the cavalry's not coming. And I'm not going to be able to live on the $893 a month Social Security. Father, give each one of us wisdom to fix our broken lives in the places that you know are broken. Speak to us. Speak to us, Father. Teach us. Lord, I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
As Pastor Matt wrapped up the message, people stood to commit their lives to the three lifestyle choices each one of us has to make if we're going to enjoy the power of God repairing our broken lives. Perhaps you too prayed that prayer with Dr. Smith. We encourage you to make the same decisions so that you too can experience the power of God Almighty. Perhaps you would like to explore the abundant life in more detail. Dr. Smith has written a daily devotional book that will help you do just that. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you to see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. You can order a copy of In His Presence from Amazon by clicking on the link on the side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. And now until next time, we're praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.